The scripture reading this morning is taken from 1 Peter chapter 4. We looked at the first part of it a couple weeks ago, and we're going to pick it up at verse 12. But I'm going to read the first 11 verses also. 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning with verse 1 and reading to the end of the chapter. This is the word of the Lord. Since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking. For whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live for the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for human passions, but for the will of God. For the time that is past suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do, living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, and lawless idolatry. With respect to this, they are surprised when you do not join them in the same flood of debauchery, and they malign you. But they will give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is why the gospel was preached even to those who are dead, that though judged in the flesh the way people are, they might live in the spirit the way God does. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome of those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. So far, the reading of God's holy word. Before we open this portion of truth, let us seek his guidance and prayer. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you will give unto us your strength, your wisdom, the anointing of your Spirit. May the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Dear Lord, bless us now this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, brothers and sisters, as I mentioned to the boys and girls just a moment ago, the Christians in China are experiencing an increase in persecution. And that's something of concern to all of us. We have to remember our brothers and sisters there who are enduring this kind of conflict. We really don't know what that is. that state-sponsored persecution. We don't know what that's like. We have to ever be thankful for the fact that we live in a land of freedom and liberty, freedom which has been bought at quite a price. But we have to remember also that there are Christians who are enduring really heavy, heavy trials because of their Christian faith. And the Apostle Peter is talking to people who are experiencing that kind of thing. And he says, don't think it's strange. Don't be alarmed that this is coming to you. And Jesus said the same thing. Jesus said, if they persecute, if they hate me, they'll hate you too. A servant is not greater than his master. Jesus is our master and our Lord, and he was crucified for his commitment, for his love for his Father, for his love for his people. And so Jesus says, don't think it strange if it happens to you, because it happened to me too. Now, all of us have experienced something of this. Certainly not physical, not bloodshed. But we've experienced some disdain, people looking down on us for what we believe, for how we live, for the fact that we go to church, for the fact that we pray before we have a meal at a restaurant. We pray, we bow our heads. There may be those who are very encouraged by that, and it's a good thing to do it. We've always done it, and you have no doubt as well. We're not ashamed of Jesus. We're not ashamed that we call upon his name. We're not ashamed that we pray and that we recognize that there's someone who is far greater than what we are. And we're not ashamed of the grace of God, of which the choir sang so beautifully this morning. We're not ashamed of that. And we are free to do it. But sometimes, I think when you're in a situation like you go to a secular college, perhaps, and you stand up for the Lord, and you're part of an organization in college, which is dedicated to Christ, and in which you witness, in which you pray. Sometimes there's looking down on you for that. Now, what Peter says is, don't be ashamed of that, and don't be alarmed either, and don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. It's something that's going to happen. If you stand up for the Lord Jesus, there's going to be some pushback from those who do not share your faith. There will be pushback. Why is there pushback? Well, perhaps they feel that they lack something. Or maybe they feel down about you, thinking you're better than they are. Whatever happens, don't be ashamed of Jesus. And don't be surprised at conflict. Don't be surprised at that. There's a very interesting book that was written some time ago by Alan Bloom, entitled The Closing of the American Mind. And in that book, Alan Bloom says, We are living in a day in our secular culture in which there is no absolute truth. The most laudable opinion is to be open. Open to anything. I'm okay, you're okay. Don't talk about absolute truth. The law of God is not absolute, say some. What you have to do when you look at the law is you got to add the word ordinarily to every commandment. You shall not commit adultery ordinarily. You shall not kill ordinarily. You shall not steal ordinarily. You shall not bear false witness ordinarily. There are no absolutes. Everything is in a flux. And so here we are as Christians. You heard the law this morning. We hear it every Lord's Day. And this is how it begins. Thus saith the Lord. I am the Lord your God. I brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Therefore you shall have no other gods before me. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. That's the way it is. And it comes right from the throne of God itself. God is the final authority. That's what you and I believe. And that is where we run into some conflict. I remember Lori and I were at a dinner with other Christians. Some were professors, some were ministers, some were teachers. And we got talking about my last sermon, which I preached in Byron Center. It wasn't the last one I preached, but it was at that time. It was the one I preached the earlier Sunday. And I had started a series of sermons on marriage. And so that particular sermon was on the beginning of marriage. And I said, well, I said to the congregation, you know how marriage started. God took a rib from Adam and made his wife Eve and brought her onto a man. And God started marriage right there. And some of those in that, around that table said, that's what you said? I said, yeah, that's what I said. They started to laugh. They said, I cannot believe that there's a minister in the church that actually believes that God took a rib from Adam and made his wife. I cannot believe that. That's impossible. I said, well, that's what it says. That's what the good book says. That's what God says. It is not good that man be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. And Adam was put to sleep, and that rib was made into a woman. Now, do you believe that? Now, honestly, I do believe that. But those in the room, not everyone, but a number of them, they just absolutely laughed and said, I cannot believe that there's a minister in the church that actually believes that God made a woman from the man's rib. You can't be serious. Yeah, I am. Well, then, it wasn't at that same dinner, but it was later that one of the One of the guys said, you know, I know, he said, that Jesus believed that Adam and Eve were the first people. But, you know, Jesus was not aware of the modern historiography that we know. He wasn't aware of the modern science that we know. And so you can't take that literally. Well, I'm sorry. This is what the book says. This is what God says. I like that bumper sticker which says, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. It settles it. Do you believe that? Now, what Peter says is this. Now, don't be surprised if there's pushback. Don't be surprised if there are those who say, this is silly. This is ridiculous. You can't actually believe that. Well, this is where we stand. Martin Luther had a saying in German, which was this, Men muss das Wort stehen lassen, which means this, you've got to let that Bible stand. This is what it says. This is where we stand. You see, when Alan Bloom wrote The Closing of the American Mind, he said there is a basic rejection of the authority of the Word of God. There's a rejection of that. And so it was that day and Peter's day as well. Maybe not in the same way, but there was opposition. Peter wrote the letter of 1 Peter that we're looking at right now in the year 64 AD. The emperor of Rome was a man by the name of Nero. And Nero hated Christians. He just despised Christians. And he believed that he was God. He believed that he had to be worshipped. And so he had great animosity against Christianity. And he thought he would find a way to destroy Christians. And so he arranged for the burning of the city of Rome. That was the year 64 AD. It happened on July 16, 64. And there was a great fire in this large part of the city of Rome burned. And Nero said, you know who set that fire? It was the Christians. There was no truth to it, but that's what he said. And so there broke out a tremendous persecution against Christians. They crucified Christians, threw them to lions, burned them in fire, did anything they could to destroy the Christian faith. That's what happened. You can read it in your history books. Now, Peter is writing to people who are going through that kind of opposition. And he says to them, don't be surprised at the fiery trial, literally fiery trial, when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. It's not strange. You know why it's not strange? Because it happened to Jesus. It happened to the captain of our salvation. He was persecuted. He was killed. He was murdered. He was crucified for our sakes. And the trumped up charges against him is that he claimed to be God, is that he said he could destroy the temple and build it in 3 days. All those kind of things were thrown against Jesus. All kinds of witnesses were brought forth against him. None of them stood up. They contradicted each other. But when it came right down to it, Pilate, who didn't really want to make a decision, Pilate, who washed his hands and said, I'm innocent of this, of his blood, he, Pilate, could not be on the fence. He had to make a decision. He had to vote yes or no. And so he wanted to please the Jews. And so he voted, go ahead and crucify him. That's what Jesus endured. And now Peter says, now when fiery trials come on you, you are my beloved, says the Lord. I love you with an everlasting love, and I will be with you through every trial. And don't be surprised when fiery trials come upon you to test you. The Lord is in control. He is in control. As Paul said, all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and who are called according to his purpose. It all works together for good. Do you know why? Because he that is in us is stronger than he that is in the world. The most that the enemy can do is kill your body. That's the most they can do. They cannot touch your soul. You're safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his tender breast. We don't have to be afraid because the Lord is with us. The whole Bible describes that. In the lives of some of the people in the Bible, you remember the lives of the friends of Daniel. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They stood up for the faith in the midst of pressure. Talk about pressure. When the music played at the great image of Nebuchadnezzar, everyone was supposed to get on their knees before that image. And here those three men just stood stock straight. They did not bow their knee, they did not bow their head to that image. And Nebuchadnezzar was furious. Talk about pressure. And all the other leaders of Babylon bowed according to the word of Nebuchadnezzar, but these three young men said, no way. I belong to Jesus Christ. Like Martin Luther said, let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also. The body they may kill, God's truth abideth still, his kingdom is forever. And so these three young men just stood straight tall. And Nebuchadnezzar was furious. And he called them to him and said, I'll give you another chance. And they said, oh, king, don't bother. We're not going to bow before your image no matter how many chances you give us, because we serve the one true and living God who created the heavens and the earth, who is, who was, and who is to come. And our help is in his name, and we're not going to bow to another. And Nebuchadnezzar was so furious. He had that furnace heated 7 times hotter. And the soldiers who bound up those three men to throw them into the fire, those soldiers were burned. But those three men, they were thrown into the fire. And Nebuchadnezzar looked and he said, weren't there three that I threw into the fire, and I see four? That was the Son of God. The Lord Jesus Christ was standing with them. That's what Jesus promised. He said, I will be with you always to the end of the world. When you have to go through the fire, he is with us. Any conflict, He's with us. What a comfort that is. That's why Peter says, beloved, you are beloved of the Lord. And if God loves us, it doesn't matter who's against us. If God is for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him give us all things? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing can. Nothing in all the world can ever separate you from the love of Jesus Christ. So Peter is telling them to witness in the midst of stress. In the midst of stress. And witness to me, says the Lord, with joy. With joy. Rejoice. Rejoice insofar as you share in Christ's sufferings. You know, in the book of Acts, the disciples, the apostles, as they were beaten, they were persecuted, and they left the Sanhedrin rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for the name of Jesus Christ. What a wonderful example that is. Rejoice insofar as you share in Christ's sufferings, that you also may rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. And that day is coming. That day is coming when every eye will see him and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That day is coming. What a day that will be when my Jesus I will see. He will take me by the hand, lead me to the promised land. What a day. What a glorious day that will be. So Peter says, rejoice. The end of the story is that Jesus is the winner. God is above all. And all those who hate him and who hate his people will be judged by the judge of heaven and earth. And when Jesus comes, they will cry for the mountains to fall upon them and the hills to cover them because of the Lamb of God, who is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He will stand with his people. Fear not, little flock. It is God's purpose and pleasure to give you the kingdom. So Peter says, don't worry. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Stand in his strength. Do not be afraid, because he that is with us is greater than he that is in the world. So don't be surprised if all this happens. Don't be surprised, because it's coming. It's coming. See, Peter says, if you are insulted, and that's the kind of persecution we do endure. If we're insulted, if you're in college and you're part of an organization that's a Christian group, you might be insulted. Peter says, if you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed. You are blessed. You see, one of the big, big temptations is to go along with the crowd. If they're all doing it, well, what's wrong? You better do it too. I remember the t-shirt that has a whole school of fish going in this direction, and then there's you going in that direction. You're going in the opposite direction of the crowd. It's not easy. It's not easy. But don't be surprised when this happens. Don't be surprised. but you are blessed because the Spirit of glory and the Spirit of God rests upon you. And so Peter says, now listen, let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or a meddler. Don't suffer for cause. Don't suffer because you have broken God's commandments. Don't suffer for that. Stand up for Jesus no matter what the cost. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. For it is time, says Peter, for judgment to begin at the household of God. You know why it begins at the household of God? Because we are the ones who know better. We've got the book. We've got the word. We've got the promise of the Holy Spirit. We've got the promise of Jesus who says, I'll be with you always. And if we offend the Lord Jesus Christ, judgment will begin at the household of God. What will be the outcome of those who don't obey the gospel of God? What will be the outcome of them? If the righteous are scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Well, you know what will become of them. There's a judgment. And those who do not obey the gospel, those who do not believe in Jesus Christ, Jesus gives us the judgment, and he says they will be beaten with many stripes because they knew the way and didn't walk in it. What a horrible thing that is. There's a judgment coming. Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. We may entrust our souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. Entrust your soul to Him. Every morning, as you get up from your bed and as you begin your day, whether it's in school, whether it's at work, whether it's in leisure, whether it's in labor, whatever it is, entrust your soul to Him. At the beginning of the day, I entrust my soul, I entrust my life to my Savior Jesus Christ, who loved me so much that he gave himself for me. Entrust your soul to him. Don't ever be afraid. Don't ever be ashamed. Don't shun away from that. This is how we have to witness. We witness by standing up for the Lord and being faithful to his word and entrusting our soul to him. Because he's with us. Don't be afraid. I want to pray for those who go to the jail today. As they go and talk to these women prisoners. Now some of these women will be leaving their cell or wherever and going to the meeting. They may be looked down upon by others. And people from our church will be going there to encourage these dear people who are coming to that meeting. And they're saying to those ladies, don't be afraid. Stand up for Jesus. In fact, Jesus says, when I was in prison, you came to me. And that you do it unto one of the least of these, my brothers or sisters, you do it unto me. So don't be afraid. We witness under stress. He's with us. Never will he leave us. This God is our God forever and ever, and he will be our guide to the very end. And everyone said, Lord, bless this word unto our hearts today. Forgive our sins. Forgive our timidity. Forgive our desire to just get along with the crowd. Oh Lord, help us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Hear us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.